You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Chris Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you are listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right, and you are here with All Action Sports Radio. We have another great, great, great show this week here at All Action Sports Radio. I'm Wes. I'm your host here at All Action Sports Radio. And we have that contest going on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, here at All Action Sports Radio. And the way it works is like this. You like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And Pam, she's our booking producer for guests, has randomly written down a number. And when that Facebook-like number is liked by someone in our listening audience, she will announce it, and we'll announce that person who liked that particular number, who followed us on Twitter, or who followed us on Instagram. Then we'll contact you, and you can pick something out of our All Action Sports Radio swag bag. We have T-shirts, backpack, wheels, I guess tickets and things like that. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and our Twitter is All Action Sport, no S. Do all that, and you get a chance to get some cool swag from us here at All Action Sports Radio. All right, quick announcement. I am not going to Coachella anymore. I had my fun. There's no more massive, insane crowds. Done. It's just a filthy experience wrapped up in the fantastic music surrounded by morons. That is Coachella. And maybe I'm getting old, but I had my thrills, and I'm kind of done about that. So there you go. This week in our show, we have Jason Weingand from RacerX. We'll be talking about the indoors. It's winding down. It's a battle between James Stewart and Ryan Villopoto. People think Ryan already has it locked in a bag, but I think James Stewart has something to say about that. And we have the privateer, Jake Canada. Been trying to get Jake on for a little bit. He's had a number of top 10 finishes in the 250 West in motocross, and he's a privateer. He's just tearing it up, and I'm looking forward to talking to Jake on All Action Sports Radio. And we'll be following that up with Corey Schumacher, the pro surfer. She's here to talk about Out in the Lineup. You know, this is I don't want to say it's a controversial documentary, but it's a groundbreaking documentary about homosexuality and surfing. It's been in a number of film festivals in Newport Beach, San Diego. It won Best Documentary at the Sydney Mardi Gras Film Festival. And, you know, Corey Schumacher is outspoken. She's gay, and she's featured in Out in the Lineup. And that's going to be a little bit later in our show here at All Action Sports Radio. And Ryan Simmons. Killing it, baby. Just killing it. Back from Ecuador. The U.S. Young Surf Team got fourth, and he's back, and he's going to talk all about that. And we're going to talk about bells. Congratulations to Carissa Moore for winning bells. And Mick Fanning. There you go, man. Mick Fanning did it again, and he won bells. And we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be talking about John, Julian, Gabriel Medina, just a whole bunch of controversy happened down in Bells, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. And also we're going to talk about Kelly Slater, just exactly how good can he be this season, because he didn't look too good at Bells. We have that and a whole bunch more, but before we get to that, we got Jason from RacerX next. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. Coming up, we have professional surfer Corey Schumacher, and we'll be talking to privateer Jake Canada later in the show, so you want to stick around for that. But right now, we are with Jason Weingand, RacerX online editor. He also hosts the TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC Series, which is the largest and one of the most prestigious off-road racing series in the U.S. And he's hanging in beautiful East Rutherford, New Jersey. Jason, how you doing?
Well, remember, it's the New York market. We're in the shadows of the city, and that's why the stadium's here. That's why the Super Bowl is here. That's why they're having a race here. It's going to be a big test for Supercross. They actually did race in the old Giant Stadium, which is in the same exact location, like 20-some years ago, and the crowd wasn't that big. So it's going to be a real test to see how much Supercross has grown since the late 80s. To see if they can pack it in now. So we'll see what happens.
Well, it helps that it's exciting, that this is an exciting race. I mean, this is the last round before the finale in Las Vegas, and they're going to crown a champion for 2014. And I believe that this is a race where James Stewart is looking to be a spoiler. I think that he had a little bit of spoiler in him in Seattle, and he almost got there. And I think he doesn't want... Everybody thinks it's a foregone conclusion that Ryan Villopoto is going to win this thing Saturday night. I think James Stewart would like to cement his legacy by being a spoiler and winning, you know, the Toyota Championship?
Yeah, I think the fact that the points are where they are, they're so obviously the most exciting thing ever would be have, you know, the two guys tied or really, really close. But the second best scenario is actually here where they're really far apart. It almost doesn't matter points-wise. They're just going to race each other heads up. It's not like Villopoto's going to win the title. You saw it in Seattle. He raced to try to win. Stewart was behind him. Mm-hmm. No matter how big a points lead Villopoto had, he wanted to hold Stewart off, and Stewart wanted to beat him in the worst way. The points are such a yes. The gap's so big, they don't even think about the numbers. So I think that's actually a good scenario right now. They just want to beat each other for the head games and confidence and all that.
You're absolutely right. And there's a quote that I picked out that Villopoto said after Seattle. He said, "It's tough to race at home, and in the past, I haven't been that stellar here. So to have a race like that is awesome. With James Stewart and Ryan Dungey standing up here next to me, getting a win is huge."
I know a lot of people have been thinking Stewart won three in a row, and they said, well, Villopoto, is he just backing it down for the title? There's no way Villopoto and Stewart right now, like, it's eye to eye. Like, they both want to leave the building knowing in their heart of hearts that they are the best rider. And they don't care what the points say. When one beats the other straight up, it hurts bad.
Yeah,
so
that's what I think.
They're going to be going for it. Yeah.
Well, with Villopoto with a 48-point lead, you know, in this race, are you giving it up to him, or are you giving James Stewart a shot, a little bit of a shot?
No, I don't think the points are like I said, it's not even worth talking about. It's going to happen almost no matter what. Villopoto just needs to not break his leg between now and Friday or Saturday. And they're going to do a little riding on the track tomorrow, and then I don't think he'll even ride Friday. So he's good to go. Points, it's over. He's going to win the title. But as far as the race went, man, flip a coin. It's hard to pick between the two of them.
Do you think James Stewart has a shot for the Toyota Triple Challenge?
Yeah, and that is something on the line. And Villopoto brought that up himself after Seattle. You know, everybody's like, oh, you're just going to ride around to clinch the title. And he's like, no, there's a truck on the line. And this is really funny. Yeah, he cares. And this is really funny. Villopoto has a Ford Raptor, and he loves that thing. He takes it out in the desert and beats up on it. And he has said before, when he gets, you know, they give him the chance to plug Toyota because they're a series sponsor. One time he said, yeah, get yourself a Toyota so you can trade it in on a Ford. And he said he'll say that again. If he wins the truck Saturday night, he's going to say it.
Oh, my goodness. All right, hey, and the 250 series is, like, super exciting. I mean, you got a lot going on the line. And I know we're running out of time. How's Martin Davalos? Is he good to go?
I don't think he is. They haven't said yet, but this is one of those situations where when you don't hear denials, I mean, usually when we put out injury or crash news, if it's even a shred of not true, people are all over us. Mum's been the word. I think that means that there's a problem, and I would not be surprised for him not even race on Saturday. But it's all speculation at this point, but I heard the crash was a big one.
Man, that is heartbreaking. I mean, he is so close. I mean, he's had his ups and downs, but this was his year, and he's so close.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to go down as one of the all-time heartbreak, like you said, if he can't make it. I mean, he had it. It's terrible, but that's the sucky part about racing sometimes.
Sucky? That's tragic.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just, this is, you live by the sword and die by the sword. And the poor guy, he's been through worse than most. He's had so many sure wins and opportunities that just fail at the last minute for whatever. I don't know. The guy's got like a black cloud following around, and this is the worst example yet.
Man, that is unfortunate. Well, Jason, best of luck in East Rutherford. I am going to give this one to James Stewart. I think he's going to be a spoiler.
I'm gonna have a tough time arguing with you on that one. I'm gonna go side up right with you, Wes.
All right, good dude. Boy, that's a first. Is that a first? I think that's a first here at All Access Sports Radio. He is the online editor.
Something's wrong.
He is the online editor for RacerX Online, Jason Weingant. If you want the latest in moto and supercross news, go to RacerXOnline.com for the most up-to-date info on all your moto stars with Jason Weingant. And you can also follow him on Twitter at RacerX Online on race day, where you get minute-by-minute action all day. All right, Jason, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, we're going to Vegas after this.
Vegas!
See ya. Oh, yeah.
All right, coming up, we have Jake Canada. All right, we're back with All Action Sports Radio here at allactionsportsradio.com. Don't forget, we have our Song of the Week coming up a little bit later in our show. It's Courtney Love, You Know My Name. And this song actually rocks. We were sitting around and people brought up this new Courtney Love song, and I wasn't a believer, but man, I am now. So you want to stick around a little bit later in our show. And we have Corey Schumacher, pro surfer. She'll be in our show a little bit later. But right now, I want to thank you guys for listening to All Action Sports Radio. And I want to thank South Carolina, Florence in South Carolina, WJMX 970 AM. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio each and every week here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. All right. This next segment, I've been excited about this segment for a variety of reasons, but mostly because we've been trying to track this guy down for a little bit. And when I say a little bit, I mean a lot. He is currently 10th in points in the 250 Supercross West region. He's been having one heck of a season, ripping off a few of the top 10 finishes here at the Lucas Pro Motocross. And I'm very, very stoked to have him on our show this week. He is a 5150 energy drink rider, Jake Canada. Jake, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It is going well, man. I mean, you are the only privateer inside the top 10. How does that feel?
It feels good. I mean, it's cool to be up there battling it out with, you know, the privateer set guys. And each weekend, at least trying to beat one or two of those guys is always cool. You know, I'm striving for their rides, so... Definitely been a good season.
Jake, it's been well known, well documented, ups and downs, you know, controversial moves here and there. Do you feel like this year's been a little bit of a redemption for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a lot of ups and downs and all the controversy with the old team and stuff like that. I think people were kind of starting to wonder about me a little bit, but I feel like this year I'm definitely set my name back in people's heads, and to be able to get consistent finishes in the top 10 and show what I have, I definitely think I'm back up there on everybody's radar.
Now, you're set up with Supercross only, with 5150 Energy Drink. They're supporting you, and they got behind you, and it's made your life a little bit easier this season because, you know, you're still considered a privateer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so now, going forward, if you just stay in the top 10 and but you don't podium, would you still consider this a successful season?
I mean, it's tough for me just because the last two seasons I've had, my season in 2012, first year Moto Concepts, I had a couple top five, and I actually didn't finish outside of the top nine the whole season. So, and then last season, I got a fifth. So it's kind of up and down. I know that it's stacked right now, and the West Coast right now is super stacked. You got a lot of fast guys and a lot of guys there's 10 guys that are all pretty even, 5 guys that are even on another level. So I feel like the competition has definitely stepped its way up, so it's a lot harder to get up in there. But, you know, I want to better myself and to better my finishes that I've had. It's bittersweet.
Well, you're looking at Jason Anderson, Cole Seeley, Justin Hill, Dean Wilson, and Cooper Webb all rounding out the top five, and then Malcolm Stewart, Jesse Nelson, Zach Osborne, Shane McElrath, and then there's you. I think that says a lot to be in the top 10 and have 9 guys, all factory guys, in front of you. And which begs to the next question. When you ride, do you have to play it safe, knowing that you don't have that backing, you don't have that money to take care of your bike or take care of yourself like the other guys do?
I mean, no. Once you get out there, it's everything goes away, and you got to give it your all. Definitely. I mean, I'm still giving it everything I have. There's no reserves on when I'm out there. It's good too because I got a great team behind me. The whole 5150 Energy team has been awesome this year. They've given me good bikes. Matt Jory's doing the motors. We actually got a really strong bike this year, so I'm happy with all that. And no, there's definitely no holding back. We're going all guns blazing when we're at the races.
Dispel a rumor that you might have or others might be saying. Do you feel like you would do better if you had full factory support? You might even podium?
I mean, it's hard to say. I would hope so. I mean, there's just a lot that comes with the whole factory support thing. A lot of, just resources that they have. They have so many more options. Bike setups and teammates, and they've been going had it for a long time. So to start a new team from the beginning, right before the season, you have 3 months to get your bike, get the setup, and your resources just aren't as good as it would be on the street team and, private, stuff like that.
You listen to All Action Sports Radio at allactionsportsradio.com, and we're talking to Jake Canada, who's in the top 10 in the 250 West and Supercross. Hey, Jake, I know that the 5150 team owner, Carlos Vieira, is passionate about raising awareness for autism, and yeah, that he does a lot for that, and you support that, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm stoked on that. And, actually at Houston, we had our bike with the puzzle pieces all over the graphics because it was Autism Awareness Month. So I think his nephew is autistic, and I think it's awesome. We got a lot of people coming by the rig asking questions, and they love that we're a supporter of it. So I'm happy to be behind that too.
Does that add a little bit more to your racing, you know, knowing that you're racing for a cause and it's just not – I mean, we all know you're out there racing and you're giving it your all, but does it give you just a little bit more of a good feeling and an incentive knowing that every time that you get a top 10 finish, that you're not only raising awareness for yourself, but you're also raising awareness for autism and you're bringing that to light?
Yeah, for sure. It's an awesome feeling. And it's also a good feeling when people come by and they ask questions about it, and I can tell them a little bit about it and a little bit about Carlos and how he's real passionate about it. And, it's definitely a cool feeling to race for autism.
All right, excellent, excellent. Hey, Jake, can you talk about the rumor that you might be riding for Canada? That actually, now you know your name is Jake Canada, but you know the country of Canada. It's been circulated and it's been making the rounds that you just might, you know, next season ride for Canada.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely it's true. I don't have an outdoor deal. The 5150 deal was just through Las Vegas, so we're trying to maybe work out a deal with 5150 to still do the outdoors here and make that work somehow. We're in the works of that. But the whole Canadian deal, I was talking to him a little bit back, and it looked pretty promising, but kind of was on the rocks a little bit for a while. But now there's crunch time. I mean, it's hard to say. It's you know, you wait a week, call and talk. Oh, we got a little bit more news, but wait another week. So nothing's for sure. I'm not sure on any of it. I would love to sign a deal here shortly. It's coming up, but still not 100% sure on what I'm going to do exactly for outdoors.
Well, you know, we only have a few weeks left. If something's going to happen, yeah, it's got to happen. And you know, last season you found a top 10 in Unadilla racing 450s. Is that something that might be on the table for you if it doesn't work out?
Yeah, I mean, shoot. If anybody gave me a bike, I don't care what color it is. Just let me ride it,
Hey, that's an awesome attitude, and you know what, Jake, I love you, man, and the fact that you're in the top 10, I would think that there's a, with so many injuries, especially this season, that there's a place for you.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of guys dropping off too recently, it seems like, so hopefully everybody knows that I don't have anything going and that I'm looking, and if any opportunity comes, that they will try to reach out to me or something.
Do you think any of that bad, I guess, you know, when you left the other team, do you think there's any remnants of that hanging around you at all? Or
it could be. I mean, it sucks the way that all played out, but that's why after all that happened with Moto Concepts, I went out, bought a bike, and did the last four outdoors just to show to everybody that I'm not that kid and I'm not doing those things, you know, that I'm off the program and that, you know, I'm not goofing off or whatever. I'm giving it everything I got. So as long as I can, I feel like as long as I'm out there and I'm racing and I'm showing people that, you know, you can't do what we do without being on top of your game. So as long as I do that, I feel like that, hopefully all that stuff will go away.
Absolutely. You can't do what you do and work as hard as you do and make those top 10 finishes without busting your tail, man. So, Jake, nothing but the best of luck going forward. And in the next couple of weeks, man, I hope you kill it.
All right. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, hopefully you guys can see me out there in the outdoors. Who knows what color or what brand, but hopefully I'll be out there.
All right, we're looking forward to it. I want to give a big shout-out to Terry Beal from Push Marketing for putting this together and getting Jake on our show. Jake, you go ride, and we'll be watching you, okay?
All right, man. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, absolutely. You're listening to All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. Coming up, we have Corey Schumacher, pro surfer, talking about her latest documentary, here on All Action Sports Radio. We're back here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. I want to give a big shout out in Melbourne, Florida to WIXC 1060 AM. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio and thank you for following us and all the things that we do. You can email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. All right, she is a three-time world longboard champion in 2000, 2001, 2010, a women's longboard pipeline pro champion in 2009, and two-time ASP North American champion from 2008 and 2009. You can read her incredibly insightful blogs on the state of surfing through her website, www.coryschumacher.com, State of Flux. And she is currently featured in a new surfing documentary with former state champion surfer David Wakefield and Thomas Kastetz, who set up the world's first online community for gay surfers. They both went on a global journey to bring a better understanding to the world of being openly gay in the surf community through their documentary Out in the Lineup. And one of the subjects of the documentary is pro surfer Corey Schumacher. Hello, Corey. This is Wes. You've been a friend here at All Action Sports Radio. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me, Wes.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I believe when this documentary was first being promoted, we had talked about, you know, bringing the guys out and getting them on the show. Now that it's out and, well, first off, David couldn't be here because he's back in Australia, and Corey was gracious enough to step in and talk about Out in the Lineup for him because she's featured in it. What's the reception been like since the movie's come out, the documentary?
It's actually been really positive on all fronts, although it's been interesting. So the film has been showing at gay film festivals, and then it's also been showing at surf film festivals. And from what I've read, by, say, Rebecca Olive, for instance, who was at the Byron Bay Surf Festival, it was well-received, but the audience level was not as high as usual. So it's interesting to get the feedback, but also to see sort of the audience attendance. We would definitely like for more audience members in the surfing community to come out and see it.
Absolutely. Now, the documentary is about David and Thomas. They went from the East Coast of Australia to Hawaii, California, Mexico, and the Galapagos Islands. I got that right, Galapagos. I had to practice that. And they met with surf people from all corners, including yourself. And they wanted to talk about this issue and bring it to the forefront. They even brought in a former U.S. congressman to talk about it. And throughout their travels, they heard different stories about fear, isolation, and self-doubt. And I'm kind of reading from the press release, but this is how their journey unfolded. And I would think their journey would have started with you because, you know, having read and followed you all these years, this is kind of like your backyard, how you went through the process of being a pro surfer, right?
Yeah, it did. But I do actually appreciate that they started with somebody who was still in the closet. David's story, as it progresses through the documentary, is really a story of coming out and becoming comfortable and sort of moving through the process of how to be both a surfer and be, you know, be gay and sort of sorting through that whole identity. So even though I had been out and had gone through that, I really think that the idea of following somebody on their journey was a good one.
No, absolutely. And it's a brave one because if you look at it, the world as we see it and recently, the defensive lineman from Mizzou came out publicly. He's going to be the first openly gay football player in the NFL draft. And close to me, one of my neighbors who coaches my son, you know, his son was a star football player at Chapman University, and he came out a couple of weeks ago, and he's now the first actively gay football player at a university.
Oh, that's awesome.
Playing football. So It's out here. It's there. What do you say to people that say, so what? Good. Great. Let's move on. Do you feel like there's a need to keep pushing this out there to the forefront? Or is it like we're making too much of it now that it's kind of got into the mainstream?
Yeah, I understand that sentiment. I think that the sort of over the last, since my partner and I got married in 2008, I think that the entire country in the U.S. has really made a shift in a real positive and supportive direction when it comes to gay rights and gays in general. But as far as, okay, we're done with it, let's just move on, there are so many stories that haven't been told yet. And those stories, because of us sort of being on the precipice of just having made that change, those stories are so important for the youth to hear. Still, there's a higher suicide rate, a higher depression rate, and more bullying.
Corey, hold on to that. I got to pay the piper. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. Corey Schumacher here on All Action Sports Radio.
Poor old man, he had an accident with a 3x5, but that's okay, because he wasn't very happy anyway.
And we're back here with Corey Schumacher, and she's featured in a documentary. You know, people want to say it's controversial. I don't think it's a controversial documentary. I think it's a groundbreaking documentary, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a groundbreaking documentary. And I wish that I had seen this documentary when I was a younger surfer. So it would have helped out me a lot.
And, you know, Corey, let's talk about that. You know, because I read an article about you and your mom, and I'm just going to quote it a little bit if I can.
Sure.
You said, your mother approached me when I was making a shift in my surfing career at the age of 17. She had come with a dire warning, one born of her many years as a competitive surfer. She had been discussing my future in professional surfing with the mother of a well-known local surf icon. I could feel the weight of my mother's stare as she warned me that two of my oldest friends looked too much like they could be lesbians, not that they were, and hanging with them in public was potentially damaging for my pro surfing career. That is a very powerful statement.
Yeah, and it was one that shaped very much of how I presented myself when I was a young surfer. I definitely made sure that I didn't look or act in any way, shape, or form the way that a stereotypical lesbian would act.
Which is...
Which is, right. So back then, you couldn't have your hair cut short. You needed to make sure that you were dating guys. You needed to make sure that you were hanging out with the right crowd. You know, that same surfer, that icon, actually asked me who I was hanging out with on tour when I first started on the ASP. And when I, you know, told him who it was, because it had to be the right people, he kind of nodded and he looked at me and said, you know, make sure that you stay hanging with those people. So even hanging out with the wrong people and being categorized, or even, you know, maybe the question was asked, are you a lesbian? It could cost you your sponsorship.
Man, that's unbelievable. I mean, it's believable, but unbelievable. We're talking with Corey Schumacher, a pro surfer. She is featuring a new surfing documentary with former state champion surfer David Wakefield and Thomas Castets, I hope I got that right, who set up the world's first online community for gay surfers. Corey, let me ask you something. You know, I had a friend, and I'll try to make this super quick, who was African-American, and he said when he went off to college, and this is apples and oranges, but I want to give that perspective. He went off to college and did really well, and he came from a very bad neighborhood, you know, here in Southern California. And he said he was so intimidated by going to that university that he was scared. But he was so well-received when he got there that it was the people back at home who were harsher on him for like selling out, leaving, and doing all that. Do you feel that in the surf community? I mean, that's a place that you should feel the most comfortable. People know who you are, and now you come out and say, hey, I'm gay. Do you feel like you get more, I guess, hatred or apprehension in the surf community, or is it outside the surf community?
When I first came out, I had to leave surfing in order to feel comfortable in coming out. And so I felt like the larger community was, you know, I went up to San Francisco to do it, you know, to explore that. So, Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pushback, especially from, you know, my Southern California home. But at the same time, as I got older, I understood that, that being open and visible within that community would help them to humanize what it meant to be gay or lesbian. And so I realized that I had to become a part of the solution there. And for larger, in the lineup, the people that I've surfed with, they've really changed. They've shifted. They've become a lot more accepting. And I feel like now the place that needs to change most is the surf industry, which sort of holds that old guy's mentality still that's from days gone by.
You know, what it's a surf documentary about openly gay surfers out in the lineup. Maybe it won't change, but maybe it can make people more tolerant. Do you feel that way?
I do. I absolutely do. I think that any time you're looking in the eyes of a human being rather than thinking about a stereotype, it's a lot harder to hate. And I think that that's what this film does. It really gives voice to the human beings who have had to move through this. And that's the power of this documentary.
Corey Schumacher, pro surfer. She is featuring a new surfing documentary out in the lineup. Corey, I wish we had more time. I'm so sorry. I'd love to bring you back and talk more about this.
Much, Wes.
All right. All right, coming up, we'll be talking more surfing with Ryan Simmons here at All Access Sports Radio. All right, welcome back to All Action Sports Radio. We're in our surf segment, and we'll be talking to Mr. Ryan Simmons. He's just coming off his Ecuador trip with the U.S. surf team, and they took bronze in the Ecuadorian competition, and it was very, very tough competition. So congratulations, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, it was copper, but same
copper
difference.
Copper or bronze. but look, you came back with a win, right?
Well, you know, we had four in the medal finals, and it was one better than last year. So if a couple of our athletes just did a couple places better, we could have won the gold medal. So we were in the hunt. So it's a win for us, you know. Even though we ended up fourth in the world, we had a chance at winning the gold medal. So, you know, Hawaii won it again, France second, Australia third. So all four of us, those four countries are battling and intertwined, and it's just a matter of time before we get a gold medal here at the USA.
All right, well done, well done. Talk about winners, Carissa Moore, she did it, and she made it look easy. For me, the playing field actually got a little leveled after a series of injuries, but I think the comfort level was just way too much at Bells for Carissa. You know, when I watched, she just looked effortless. She just seemed like she was just having a good time.
Well, her surfing fits the wave really good, and she seems to be on another level. I don't really, you know, I hate to say that because the other girls surf so good, but she just really is on another level and really hard to even match her. So when she's surfing 90% to 100%, it's pretty hard for the girls at 100% to even come close, so... I mean, it's going to be a tough couple years to take her down.
Well, she was ripping. And, again, Congratulations to Carissa. And how about Mick Fanning winning his third Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach? Not without some controversy. I mean, what's a surf contest without controversy and people griping about the judges?
Yeah, always.
You know, so let's talk about Jordy Smith saying in his post-heat interview that after he lost, he's getting judged about his own ability and not the person he's surfing against.
Well, I understand that complaint and argument. Sometimes athletes are like, well, they know how good I can be, and then I surf that wave, you know, to this level, but they've seen me do gnarlier things. So that's that complaint. I don't buy it. I just feel like, you know, that wave, I watched that wave in replay again and again, and it was pretty much a perfectly surfed wave. And so I didn't see the comparison to Julian's wave and that whole 1 point better comparison. That's out the window. Just the judges, you know, what, four or three of five thought it was a perfect 10, and the other guys went just under. So, I mean, if you watch that wave, and it seems like the consensus was everyone thought it was a perfect surfed wave, Why are these guys so scared to give away 10?
Well, let's look at it from Kelly's perspective. He said Jordy's wave was one of the best waves he's ever seen ridden. If he's saying that, and he's an 11-time world champion, how can a judge get it that wrong?
Well, they're not 11-time world champions for one, and they're just, you know, I don't know. It seems as though this year, to me, you know, everyone's talking about the judging. Well, what they've done is they've lowered the scale overall. Like, even since the first event, if you watch, now waves that you feel like, oh, wow, that's a 7 or an 8, they're coming in like 5s and 6s, and they're leaving the room for the performances to be incredible. But what's happening is, now the surfers are starting to get a little upset because they're ripping waves that they think are near the excellent range, which is 8 or above, and they're getting average scores. And now the surfers are starting to feel a little bit queasy over, well, what's going on? I don't know what I need to do. And so, I don't know. I think the judges need to finalize what they want to see, let the surfers know, and let the public know. It's this big, they're behind this, you know, veil, and it's like there's never the communication that we need. They try and bring in the head judge, and he tries to talk about things, but that's not really ever working. He talks about cookie-cutter answers over the rule book or whatever. So let's get real.
Hey, real quick, I'm running out of time, but hey, Gabriel Medina has a reputation for being shady with priority tricks. Explain real quick what priority is for our listeners, and talk about what people can do and why Gabriel has that reputation. I mean, surfers being the people, what they can do to get that reputation.
Well, what he's done is he's held a priority at the end of heats when he's been in the lead, and he's let the other surfer maybe get into the wave that they need before him, and then he's dropped in on them to block them from surfing the wave. But the rule is, once a surfer with priority paddles and takes a wave, the other surfer, even if he's riding the wave, won't get scored. So what he's doing is totally legal in the rule books, but he's been doing it to where real blatant, and like, instead of, you know, taking the wave in front of the other surfer, he's letting the surfer go, like, oh, you want the wave? Oh, I'm going to use my priority and block you. So, and it's just so, you know, with the webcam and the contest and all the cameras following the surfers, now you just see it. It's like, you can't hide. So all the tricks are now not tricks anymore.
Got it. Good insight, Ryan. Good insight. All right, look, I'm out of time, but I want to talk to you next week about the squat snap off the lip, the new layback, you know, why that's so popular, and what's getting everybody all geeked up about that. So thank you so much for talking about Bell's Beach this week, and we'll talk more surfing with you next week.
Sounds fun. All right, talk next week.
Coming up, our song of the week here at All Action Sports Radio. And this is our song of the week, Courtney Love's You Know My Name, here at All Action Sports Radio. All right, you go, Courtney, man. That's our show this week. If you like what you hear, email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. I'd like to thank our guests, Jason Weingart from RacerX Online, Ryan Simmons, our resident surf expert, Corey Schumacher, pro surfer and pro motocross racer, Jake Canada. Thank you for being a part of our show. I want to thank you, our listening audience, for each and every week supporting us here at All Action Sports Radio. Our crew, Soy Sauce Media, Pam Scooter, you're doing great, man. And, of course, the inspiration. We will see you at the beach. My name's Wes. I'm your host, and I am out. Go have a killer week now. Gotta find me a big booty woman. Big booty woman is hard to